engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome. It's Eric Erickson across the United States of America, and I sure am glad to have you with me. The phone number is 877-973-7425 if you want to be on the program. If you text Eric to 33777, you can get the live stream, show notes, podcast, all the social media links, you name it. We got to talk about this wild, wild story. The Biden administration, fearing a Republican wave in 2022, decided it was more important for your baby to starve than to ease the formula shortages. If you do not remember, back in 2024, or 2022 rather, there were formula shortages as one of the fallouts from COVID, and there was limited supply of baby formula in the nation. Abbott Labs, which is one of the biggest producers of baby formula in the country, had to shut down its manufacturing facility due to contamination in formula that got some kids sick. And one of the issues that came up is that there were formula production facilities abroad, but those formula production facilities abroad had big tariffs on them. So if you imported that formula, it would have driven up the cost artificially. Tangent. One of the big arguments for 2024 is the Trump idea to add tariffs to pretty much any product made not in this country, and that is goes beyond China. Originally, it was just tariffs in China, but some economically illiterate people have tried to convince the Trump team, which has largely embraced the idea, to advance tariffs across the board as a way to fund the federal government. And the argument is that those other countries pay the tariffs. That is not how tariffs work. If you think that's how tariff works, you are a stupid person. The way tariffs work, and what the problem is with this baby formula shortage, is that you, the consumer, pay the tariff. What happens with a tariff is, let's say, $1,000 is added to the product because it's made outside of this country. That's the plan. I'm using $1,000, but the plan being advocated by economically illiterate people is that we will add tariffs not just to things made in China, but to things made abroad generally. And anything imported into this country will be at a higher price. Those countries don't pay the higher price. The business importing the product, the American business importing the product, pays the higher price and then raises the price to the consumer by that amount, so the consumer pays it. So if you raise, let's make it an easier thing, $10 per shirt coming from India. You raise the price of a shirt by $10 with a tariff. The import company has to pay that additional $10, and then the price of the shirt's going to go up by $10. The consumer will pay $10 more for that shirt, and the thinking is, well, maybe the consumer will find a shirt made in the United States that's cheaper, and they'll buy that shirt instead, thereby stimulating new manufacturing in the United States. The problem is the shirt used to be $5. Now it's $15. You can maybe manufacture the shirt in this country for $10. So all you're doing is saving $5, but you've still increased the price by $5. It's economically illiterate. You're forcing Americans into higher prices. The Biden administration was doing this with baby formula. The baby formula market in the United States collapsed, and there was a federal tariff on imported dairy products, including baby formula. This was the middle of campaign 2022, and formula shortages were a big campaign issue. the Biden administration, according to, it's a left-wing site, by the way, ProPublica. ProPublica is a left-wing site, objectively so, a left-wing site. The Biden administration sought ways to restock empty store shelves. Among the options was lifting steep tariffs on formula imported from other countries. But as White House lawyers drafted a proclamation to remove the import tax, one federal agency resisted, the Office of the United States Trade Representative. With supplies of baby formula following precipitously across the country after a major production plant shut down, staffers from the Trade Representative's office repeatedly argued against lifting the tariff on imports, citing in part a concern that it would raise, quote, lots of questions from domestic dairy producers, according to documents obtained by ProPublica. Cow's milk is a primary ingredient for most baby formula, and the dairy industry has long supported protections for U.S. manufacturers. Quote, situation at retail appears to be a combination of transportation, shipping, and panic buying by consumers, not an issue of inadequate domestic production, wrote Julie Callahan, an official with the Trade Representative's office, in a May 11th email to an official with the National Security Council, which was helping coordinate the administration's response. The next day, she told colleagues, quote, I tried to convey to NSC in strong terms, very strong terms, yesterday, that removing tariffs for infant formula would not result in increased access to infant formula for U.S. consumers. The White House never released the proclamation, and the tariffs stayed in place. The tariffs stayed in place. It took an act of Congress, a literal act of Congress, to get rid of the tariff. The Biden administration, they didn't oppose it. The Biden administration wanted it to be a bipartisan thing. The Biden administration wanted to hold your child's life hostage to a bipartisan congressional deal instead of acting quickly and unilaterally. Because the Biden administration was afraid if it did it unilaterally, donors from the dairy industry might support the GOP in 2022. They were more concerned about donors to political campaigns than they were your children. A spokesperson for the Trade Representative's office has defended the Biden administration, saying, quote, it was committed to using all tools, including trade tools, to address the formula shortage and ensure American families were able to access infant formula. All tools except tariffs. They didn't want to lower the cost of importing formula into this country. They didn't want to get rid of that burden on families because of the politics of it. Now, the Trade Representative's office is not some fixed office. It's accountable to the President of the United States. The President can hire and fire the Trade Representative. The President does not have to listen to the Trade Representative. But the President's staff chose to listen to the Trade Representative staff about the political ramifications of getting rid of a tariff instead of listening to the parents who would have benefited by getting rid of the tariff. To remind you, Abbott Labs stopped formula production in Sturgis, Michigan, which had made 20% of formula sold in the U.S. Four infants had fallen ill or died after drinking formula made there. Federal inspectors found bacteria contamination and safety protocols were off. By April, nearly a third of normally available formula products were out of stock. By late May, the number was 70%. People started panic buying. Many infants, I don't know if y'all know this or not, my wife and I, we couldn't use formula, or we couldn't breastfeed. My wife, when we first got married, had to have a double mastectomy. So breastfeeding was out for us. We had to use formula. And we switched, I think, from Enfamil to Similac. We settled on Similac because the Enfamil didn't settle with our kid. And we wound up going to Similac, and the transition, though, caused all sorts of problems. When you disrupt a child like that and change their formula, the diarrhea, throw up, it was gross. It was awful. Doctor told us we had to stick with it, though, and make that change. We did. People were having to go through that with their kids in 2022, switching formula brands constantly because of the short supplies. The problem here is that the tariffs on baby formula were so high that it messed with the ability to import. One of the reasons was because there are strict regulations on nutrition and safety in this country, but also extremely high tariffs. In fact, the United States is largely closed to baby formula imports because of the tariffs. Normally, 90% of baby formula is made in this country because of the tariffs. The Biden administration started flying formula in from Europe, but that formula was sold with a tariff. So they were taking the time to fly in formula from Europe, but they wouldn't get rid of the tariff. They wanted Congress to get rid of the tariff. It took 10 weeks for Congress to get rid of the tariff. In those 10 weeks, the Biden administration could have alleviated concerns and done it unilaterally, but they were afraid that if they did it themselves, that the dairy manufacturers in America might fund the Republicans in 2022. That's how coldly politically calculated this was. That's how calculated it was. Your kid was less important than campaign donations for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Your kid was less important. Think about that. Many of these same people are going to stay in office if Kamala Harris gets elected president. And they coldly calculated that your kid was less important than campaign donations. Screw your kid. They needed the money to stop Donald Trump and the Republicans. They were willing to sacrifice your kid. I mean, hell, should we be surprised? Look at Abortion Palooza 2024. They've got an abortion van at the Democratic National Convention, keeping a daily tracker on the number of abortions performed. They don't care about kids. This is the party of Moloch. They are willing to sacrifice your kids to advance their agenda. They're willing to sacrifice your kids to save the planet. They're willing to sacrifice your kids to save jobs. They're willing to sacrifice your kids for whatever they need to sacrifice your kids for. I mean, we've gone back to the days where they want to kill your kids at the altar of Moloch to generate rain to produce crops in the name of saving the planet from having too many kids to prevent global warming. It's remarkable, too, that the Department of Health and Human Services in the Biden administration was pushing for an end to the tariff. If you don't know, by the way, it's a 17% tariff. 17%. So whatever the price is of formula, add 17% to it. And the trade representative was able to undermine the Health Department of Health and Human Services, making that political argument to the White House. Who was in charge? Well, we know it wasn't Joe Biden. Was it Kamala Harris? Was it Kamala Harris? We know Joe Biden at this time in 2022 wasn't competent enough to be running the place. So was Kamala Harris calling the shots? Was it Kamala Harris who put political donations ahead of your kids? Who ultimately made the call? Who was in charge here? Was it Biden or was it Harris? The buck stops with one of them. We know it wasn't Biden, so it must have been Kamala Harris, who was afraid of the political ramifications of making it easier for you to find formula for your child in 2022. They can talk about joy and caring and freedom all they want. They made a political calculation that it was better for your child to starve so that they could get campaign cash.
When the world seems crazy, he'll keep you sane. It's the Eric Erickson Show. Join Eric's army of activists. Text ARMY to 33777 now.
Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Y'all, I got to tell you, I do not know this guy, Brett Lewis. I don't know him. Apparently lives in Stockbridge, Georgia. He is a franchisee of Chick-fil-A and has launched today the latest Chick-fil-A building. So Chick-fil-A ran into a problem during COVID. You know, they had a lot of indoor playgrounds. A lot of these restaurants, fast food restaurants, had indoor playgrounds. And Chick-fil-A, of course, their line backs up. I got a buddy of mine who listens down on WOKV in Jacksonville. He's like, oh, my Chick-fil-A drive-thru, so fast. Well, nationally, I tell him all the time, Brett, anecdotes, not data. The data shows Chick-fil-A has some of the slowest drive-thrus in the country, and I am constantly waiting in mind for the freaking waffle fries that never come out crisp. They're always floppy. Chick-fil-A, you got to cook your waffle fries like 3 minutes longer, please. Nonetheless, Chick-fil-A has hit on a brilliant scheme. They have built now in Stockbridge, Georgia. It's the first. They're going to run them out nationwide, but it is a new store and it's elevated. So the kitchen and restaurant are on the second floor, and the downstairs is essentially on stilts, and you drive under. There are four lanes, two for the mobile app and two for in-person ordering, to get you through the line even quicker. They can speed up the number of people they're serving. There's a ramp that sends the food down or some sort of mechanism that sends the food from the second floor to the first floor. They can build a bigger kitchen to handle more orders, maybe cook the fries a little bit longer, Chick-fil-A. And Brett Lewis, this guy in Stockbridge, he and his wife opened the first one. And I got to drive up to Atlanta on Saturday, and I want to just go through this thing to see it. I've heard these stores are coming, and they're going to roll them out nationwide. They're also apparently Chick-fil-A is starting some streaming video content. I'm skeptical. We'll see. But I'm excited by this innovation to get that drive-through moving faster. And as I complain about the wait time, telling them to cook the fries longer, I guess that would actually speed up the wait time. But y'all, the floppy waffle fries, there's a restaurant near me called Piedmont. They serve waffle fries, and they're always so crisp and perfectly salted. I was like, man, I wish you guys would be in charge of the waffle fries at Chick-fil-A. I missed the brownie with the fudge on top too, but that's another story. Nonetheless, I'm excited and intrigued. So congratulations, Brett Lewis. I don't know him. I don't know that he listens. But boy, I want to go check out this elevated Chick-fil-A that you drive under as the drive-through. What a great innovation to speed it up, because I don't ever eat in the Chick-fil-A anymore. I go through the drive-through, so this will be great. What's also great and innovative is Vision Computers. They can build you a computer that saves you money and lasts you a whole lot longer than your run-of-the-mill, one-size-fits-all, big-box store PC. Not only that, if you buy a computer from them, you can get their award-winning 5-star service, where if you have an issue, you don't know how to do something, you call them, 15 seconds or less, you get the answer. And for $179 a year, not a month, but a year per computer, Vision Computers can be your tech support solution, even if you didn't buy your PC from them. All you do is call them at 404-COMPUTE. Call Vision Computers at 404-COMPUTE. Tell them I sent you. You're going to save even more money. 404-COMPUTE, you call them, and then your employees can be productive employees, productive over your business, and not have to be tech support agents for their computers. You call them at 404-COMPUTE or go to visioncomputers.com. Any one of you nationwide for your home or your office, Vision can build the computers and the tech support comes for free. But if you already got computers and you can't afford an in-house IT guy, Vision can take it over for you, $179 a year. Visioncomputers.com or 404-COMPUTE. Give them a call. Increase your employee productivity today.
He's got the courage to tell you the truth, even when it isn't popular. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the United States of America. I am delighted to have you guys with me, and I am exhausted talking about campaign 2024 all the time. There's so much other news out there that I think actually is genuinely important for us to talk about, and one of those issues happens to be the wars that are going on in Europe and across the Middle East. The situation just continues to deteriorate. I want to begin with the Ukrainians. We will transition into the Israeli situation because there's some disturbing news there as well about the Biden administration, what they've done that is relevant, but we should begin with Ukraine. I want to admit to you, I want to acknowledge that when Ukraine decided to flood into the Kursk region, which is Russian territory, I was a little bit baffled by it. And my suspicion was what they were doing, it was trying to draw Russian troops away from the fighting areas of Ukraine and to drive them back home to Russia. That was my suspicion that made the most sense. Otherwise, it would just, it's a little bit of a bizarre to invade a region of Russian territory and risk your troops when, in fact, you are not on the front lines. It was kind of a wild thing. And in fact, what they've done is exactly that. Not only have they done that, but they've also been able to show Russian citizens who have viewed the war in an abstract manner that the war actually matters to them. So the Ukrainians have captured 483 square miles of the Kursk Oblast, that is a territory inside Russia. It is the very northeastern edge of Ukraine, crosses into this Russian territory. They've been able to seize and hold the territory and reinforce the territory. And it does seem very much to be a suicide mission in that you've got Russians can come back up from Ukraine and can come in from areas further east on Russia to stamp them out. The problem is in what the Ukrainians calculated was that the Russians didn't have trained soldiers to be able to do it. Let me read for you some of this reporting from the Wall Street Journal this morning. Ukrainian troops said they are moving to encircle an estimated 3,000 Russian troops that are hemmed against a river in Russia's Kursk province, seeking a fresh blow against Moscow in the third week of a surprise incursion. Ukraine's military said it used U.S.-supplied HIMAR rocket systems and explosive drones to strike pontoon crossings and bridging equipment as Russia scrambled to prevent the encirclement of its forces between the same river and the Ukrainian border. Ukraine's August 6th incursion has embarrassed Vladimir Putin by seizing dozens of towns and villages across a territory as large as any Russia has captured in a year of offensives in Ukraine. Kyiv's forces are now expanding their control along the border and striking Russian supply routes as Moscow is ramping up counterattacks using massive glide bombs and troops rushed in from Ukraine and other parts of Russia. The incursion hasn't so far shifted the dynamics of the war's main battlefields in eastern Ukraine, where Russia is advancing in towards Pokrovsk, a key Ukraine logistical hub, and Turetsk, a city of strategic importance and high ground. Meanwhile, Ukraine used aerial drones to attack an air base in Russia's Volgograd region early Thursday in an escalating campaign of long-range strikes seeking to damage Russia's war machine. Russia's military has not repelled drones over five other regions overnight, or had repelled drones, rather. In Kursk, Ukraine is stretching the breadth of its incursion rather than seeking a deeper advance that would be easier to cut off, says Mick Ryan, a military strategist and retired major general in the Australian Army. They are holding more defensible terrain that's closer to Ukraine and easier to support. Ukraine's intent to hold what officials have called a buffer zone poses a dilemma to Putin as to whether to try to oust forces in what could be a costly operation. Such an effort would require pulling sizable forces from Ukraine, weakening promising offensive against strategic targets in the east, and potentially opening gaps for Ukrainian troops to exploit. For now, Russia appears mostly to be transferring forces from reserves and areas in Ukraine where fighting isn't as intense, such as the south or the northeast. There's a case for the Russians to see how this develops and to just throw enough at it to slow the Ukrainians down. For Russia, recapturing this region of Russia is a secondary goal to the more strategic aim of advancing further into the Ukrainian province of Donetsk, which Putin has declared part of Russia. Now, there isn't much panic in Moscow about the situation. So what Ukraine has started doing is drone attacks into Moscow. The Russian authorities confirmed Ukraine launched 45 separate drone sorties into Russian territory in the early hours Wednesday, causing the airport in Moscow to shut down, among other things. One of the reasons that Ukraine did this is because the Russians have felt insulated from the war, which is still called a special operation. Because it's a special operation and not a general war in the parlance, the Russians in St. Petersburg and Moscow, the most well-to-do of the Russian people, have felt insulated. They haven't felt really the effects of war so much. They've certainly felt it in the economy, but the daily fallout of war that Ukrainians have felt, the Russians haven't felt it. This is a visible reminder to the Russians of what they've done, what Vladimir Putin has done, the war that Putin has caused. The flight of people from Kursk into other parts of Russia, sending word of the war and the invasion, has caused problems for Vladimir Putin, who's largely been able to get people to forget about the war. And now there comes word out of Ukraine that many of the fresh Russian recruits who have come into Ukraine are surrendering the moment they meet the Ukrainians. Some of this, we have to be clear, some of this is propaganda by the Ukrainians. You can't deny that aspect of it, that some of this is propaganda from the Ukrainians. They're highlighting the numbers of people who have come across from Russia who are surrendering. The problem here is that some of it is true. And there are videos to show the number of Russian troops who are young. I mean, we're talking 17, 18, 19-year-old Russians who've come across the border, and they're immediately surrendering. It's a blow to Russia. It's a real blow to Russia. Now, they're using American weapons, and this is the transition into what's happening in Israel. We sent the Ukrainians weapons long delayed, and we've dragged our feet on F-16s. This is a pattern of the Biden administration where they promise these things and then they don't deliver them. The reason you should understand that the Russians were able to take hold of more Ukrainian territory was not because Republicans in Congress dragged their feet on an appropriations package to help Ukraine. The problem is that the Biden administration itself long delayed previously promised armaments to the Ukrainians. They were hoping for a peace solution. The Biden administration strategy time and again has been to think if we drag our feet, we might be able to force peace. For all the talk about Donald Trump being pro-Russian, this is a Democratic talking point that the Democrats believe. Donald Trump was more willing to advance arms and support to Ukraine than Joe Biden. Joe Biden has certainly given a lot. He's given a lot of money. I can't deny that. It's intellectually dishonest to do so. The problem is that the Trump administration did it without Congress forcing them and outside allies forcing them. They just did it. Biden has had to be pressured the whole way through. You've got members of the Senate who are very pro-Ukraine, like Tom Cotton and Joni Ernst, who are being led to believe the Biden administration is doing it for show. They don't really mean it to support Ukraine. And the problem is their lack of support has caused the Russians to advance because they've dragged their feet on giving previously appropriated arms to the Ukrainians. And if you need more proof that this is a strategy, they've done it to the Israelis as well. Now comes word that the U.S. is using weapons as leverage to force a peace in Israel. This is from the Wall Street Journal. U.S. arms sales to Israel are a potent symbol of Washington's support for its closest Middle East ally and potentially a powerful tool of influence over it. With prospects for a ceasefire in Gaza hanging in the balance, the Biden administration is facing the political limits of that power. The decision last week by the Biden administration to move forward with $20 billion in weapons deals for Israel after months of delays came just ahead of Secretary of State Antony Blinken's trips to the Middle East in what many viewed as a last-ditch effort to get an agreement that would halt fighting in Gaza. Blinken returned to Washington on Wednesday with no breakthrough, though talks are continuing. State Department officials said last week's announcement of weapons sales was decided independent of hopes for a ceasefire. But some inside the administration said they hoped the sale would signal that the U.S. is backing Israel amid concerns about a potential Iranian retaliatory attack in response to the recent killing of a senior Hamas leader in Tehran and Hezbollah commander in Beirut. The announcement also came while Congress is in recess, reducing the chances of public pushback by some Democratic critics. They've been using weapon sales for leverage with Israel. They've been using weapons for leverage with Ukraine, and it hasn't worked. Ukraine has stormed into Russia using American missiles, and Israel is refusing to cut deals with Hamas. All Hamas has to do, it's worth reiterating this, all Hamas has to do is let the rest of the hostages go. To their credit, what little credit we can give them, the Democrats on stage did do a set them free montage last night. They had some of the parents of hostages on stage at the Democratic convention, and they got applause, which is good. Problem is, a lot of Jews who are at the Democratic National Convention have chosen to meet off-site instead of being present because of the harassment they get on their way in. The Democrats haven't been able to block the harassment, which is absurd, and yet that's what's happening. The Democrats are deeply divided on these issues. Republicans are certainly divided on Ukraine, but Republicans are pretty united on Israel and standing with Israel. It's the Democrats, though, who have tried to use weapons both to Ukraine and to Israel as leverage. And it hasn't worked in either case. It has not worked. All it's done is drag matters out. Let's roll the tape back to October 7th. Americans, not just Israelis, but Americans are taken hostage by Hamas. If the United States had immediately coordinated a military response with Israel, what do you think would have happened? My suspicion is that Hamas would have said, we got to give up the Americans at least. Maybe not the Israelis, but we got to give up the Americans. But they chose not to do that, because the United States chose to give lip service to Israel while sitting on the sidelines. And now as Israel tries to get those hostages back, the United States proceeds to hold weapon shipments over Israel's head to try to control them. And what Bibi Netanyahu and the Israeli military are signaling is that they are not going to be America's whipping boy in this. They are going to do whatever they can to wipe out Hamas, which is also what Ukraine is doing, saying we're going to do whatever we can to get the Russians out of our territory. We're not going to allow you to hold your weapons over our heads. We're not going to be held hostage to your F-16s. We're going to do what we can. And if that means we got to invade Russia and take the war to the Russians, that's what we're going to do. Joe Biden's policy failures are failing all over the world right now. They've been failing for 50 years. They're failing right in front of us. His economy continues to fail as well, with bank collapses and interest rates the way they are. Maybe they'll get cut next month. The Fed is having their big meeting right now. We'll find out tomorrow from Jerome Powell. But I can tell you, Swiss America has been the trusted leader in precious metals for 40 years, and they've been warning people about a secret war on cash. If you're interested in safeguarding your hard-earned cash in their secret war on cash from the government, keep listening. Swiss America's got a free report for you. They're rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau. They can educate you on protecting your assets in their report, The Secret War on Cash. The government's even going to war against digital currency right now. The report takes less than 15 minutes to read. It can save your retirement and finances. Get a free copy by calling or texting 800-289-2646. That's 800-289-2646. They're all out war on cash. Includes digital forms of currency. It's growing daily. So read the Secret War on Cash report completely free. Just mention Eric, E-R-I-C-K. When you call, mention my name. If you text, just spell out my name, E-R-I-C-K, in the text message. to 800-289-2646. You can also go to SwissAmerica.com/Eric today to get the report, or call or text my name to 800-289-2646. Message and data rates may apply.
He's got the courage to tell you the actual truth, even when it isn't popular. It's the Eric Erickson Show. You can be live on Eric's show by calling 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
My goodness, here's a story for you that's just hitting the wires. You know, the NIL stuff in college sports now, the name, image, likeness stuff. Deion Sanders and his Colorado University Buffaloes, they've been trying to innovate during his tenure at Colorado, and NIL funding is no different. So Trevor Riley, who was the special teams coordinator, went on record about trying to pull in funding for the school's 5430 NIL collective. He told Sports Illustrated, "No bad feelings between anyone in the program, but rather he was at odds with a few people in the administration. He spent time in the Middle East this past holiday season lobbying Saudi Arabia's public investment fund for name, image, and likeness funding on behalf of CU football." A copy of what Riley says was in his resignation letter to CU Athletic Director Rick George and Sanders was reviewed by Sports Illustrated. Quote, "The arrangement was that because I did all the NIL work at Jackson and got us through, you guys would pay me a modest salary and make me the special teams coordinator, which should have freed up time for me to handle NIL activities. You paid me $90,000 a year, let me handle special teams. I did all this work in your name, was told to pursue it. I burned through all my contacts in my Mormon community, which is worth about $3 trillion. Now I can't get these people to answer my calls because I just found out today that none of my endeavors will happen. I even went to Saudi Arabia, got a meeting with the Saudis who were interested in pursuing business. I have email receipts to prove it, and you guys let it fall flat on his face." Talk about out-of-the-box thinking. You know, my favorite quote from Margaret Thatcher is when someone says, "Think outside the box, shoot them." I love that quote. Man, they really thought outside the box to go to Saudi Arabia for this. Now, listen, I want you to not think outside the box, but get a box from Omaha Steaks. Go to omahasteaks.com. Load up that box with deliciousness. It'll be delivered to your door. Steaks, seafood, chicken, pork chops, ready-made sides, desserts, you name it. Go to omahasteaks.com. At checkout, put Eric in, E-R-I-C-K, in the promo code box. You'll get an extra $20 off. Right now, they are having their 50% off sale for Labor Day. Labor Day is coming up. What, next weekend? Can you believe we're almost here? So you can get incredible savings to plan your fall grilling season. It's supposed to be hot in the Southeast this next week. It's wonderful weather out here today. Great grilling weather. It's going to come back. We're going to have great cool temperatures. You're going to be able to grill outside with your friends and family, and you can do it all with Omaha Steaks. All you have to do is go to omahasteaks.com. Everything's 50% off right now for Labor Day. At checkout, put in Eric, E-R-I-C-K, get an extra $20 off, minimum order required. You'll get it delivered to your door, sides, desserts, main courses, steaks, whatever you need, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, all from omahasteaks.com.